I'm not getting into politics tonight, but I would say this, that, you know, the morning after the election, I thought, well, Lord, do you have anything to say to us about, you know, things that are happening and so on? And I thought, well, maybe there's something in the prophets. Maybe there's something in the words of Jesus. I mean, all of it's good. All scripture is given by God. Maybe it's in the Pauline epistles. And it just that still small voice said, what was the day before the election? I said, well, that was the 5th. And many times, I'm not saying that it's always a straight prophetic word. It depends on you and God. But the Lord directed me to go to the 5th Psalm, and I read it. And I was up, you know, in early time of prayer. And as I read that, it was just like, I mean, email from God. Psalms 5, the day before, and it was just as good the day after. Hallelujah. And I'd like to just share a little bit tonight. You could use the whole Bible for this. You know, foundational basics. I often feel that I'm not an expert on foundations, but I know a lot more than I think a lot of people do. We've had two houses in the past that we really had some foundation challenges. The first one, I just thought we had a challenge. We did, but that was fixed. Then the next one, we went through 3 foundation companies, and the thing I discovered there was that there is no, you know, you can get a degree in flying an airplane, you can fly an airplane, but it's not a thing of going and getting a degree unless something's drastically changed to get certified. Everybody's got the perfect system. To talk to any foundation, and there may be someone here tonight, and God bless you, I'm for you, praise God. But I mean, everyone, well, you know, we tweak it. Well, we kick it. Well, we dig it, you know. We use wood, we use steel, we use concrete. You know, there's all kind of different, not hearing too many advertisements about that nowadays. But there's one thing I can tell you. You know, a house is no better than its foundation. And, you know, wouldn't it be something you use real estate and they said, I want to go buy the prettiest roof in the greater Metroplex area. I'm into roofs. Show me a house that has a good roof. Someone else might say, well, show me a house that has good walls. I mean, you know, very attractive. Or I'm into windows. I'm just being a little generic here for a moment. But, you know, when it's all said and done, that house may be as ugly as sin, but if it has a good foundation, it's going to stand the storm. It's going to come through, you know. And of course, the storm is so crazy up in New England that, I mean, even good houses built very well were moved off of their foundations. But here's the thing that I really believe with all of my heart. I'm so thankful that Joy and I had a good foundation in our growing up years and in our teen years. And it's so important. And if you don't have one, you can get a good one. That's why Bible college is so important. To get basic truths into your heart. There's several basic truths here in Psalms 5, and I want to go right to the heart of the matter. And just simple titles for simple verses. One of the first things that I see here is stay focused on God. Verse 2, hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God. My King and my God. Stay focused on God. Everything in the world tries to get your focus off of God and onto the circumstances. Amen? Really. And I mean that applies to those of us. I guess we're all in the ministry, but I have to constantly keep a rein on that. There's always something to get your focus off of God. I mean, problems are real. Challenges are real. Things are real. But keep your focus on God. God's more important than anything in this whole wide world, in this whole wide universe. Stay focused on Him. Don't just focus on the need or focus on the problem or focus on the health issues that are there. Stay focused on God. He said, my God and my King. Hallelujah. We're in a society that doesn't focus on God like they did a few years ago. That's why we have to go out to the highways and hedges and speak the word to them. You've heard me say it, but I think it's worthy of saying it. My first through the sixth grade was in a grade school that there was a principal, and then the principal went to into the army in that World War II time, and then his wife stepped in. They both had degrees, and she stepped in. But every morning from my first to the sixth grade, we heard a verse of scripture, and we had prayer in our school. The name of that school was George C. Clark, and we lived about four or five blocks from there on the south side. Every morning, I mean, no one said, "Oh, they got scripture going. Oh, our school's going," you know. Every morning. And then when I went to junior high, I was in a school for 2 years. Mr. Fincher, I remember that every morning, he had a thing for Proverbs. And every morning he would read he'd read the whole thing. And next month he'd read the whole thing all over again. There'd be Proverbs 1, 2, you know, I mean, it would just go in sequence. We'd go right through Proverbs, praise God. And then we would have prayer. And these were precious Methodists in both situations. The Singletons, Patsy and Cecil were their names. And they were Methodist, and they became spirit-filled later on. Mr. Fincher, I don't know that he ever made that step, but I'll tell you what, two schools were firm. I mean, there was no surprise. You knew it was coming. Every morning you got scripture and you got prayer. And then today we've taken God I'm not staying there, but I'm just telling you, what do you expect in the conduct of schools today? What do you expect in the outcome of students who are taught anti-God things and do not have that example? Stay focused on God. Hallelujah. Don't, you know, Peter, as long as he was focused on Jesus, he walked on the water. But when he focused on the storm, when he focused on the sound of the wind, storms have a sound. And when he focused on the storm, he began to sing. Stay focused on God, my King. My God, praise be unto the Lord. And then we go right from that into stay focused on God, but keep on praying. I re-listened to a message that Dr. James Morocco brought, I believe it was June the 3rd, when he ministered here in this church. And he made several strong statements, but he said one of the strong missions of this church is being called to prayer. And, you know, it's important. A bird needs two wings to fly. And God called us to witness, and God called us to praise, but God called us to pray. Amen. And the word is strong, but, you know, it's the old thing. If all you do is word, then you dry up, and if all you do is spirit, you blow up. But we need it all. People ask me constantly, well, what is this and what is that? Keep on praying. Every day, talk to God out of your heart. And something that has been very special in my life is journal. Not all the time, not every time, but journal your prayers to God. Get your legal pad and start writing a letter to God. I mean, express your heart to God. Amen. I mean, just Father in Jesus' name. And I like to write it and praise God just as God speaks. Keep on praying. Keep on praying. All kinds of prayer, the Bible says. You say, you know, we have sometimes people, when we give them prayer training for the power tower, what we don't really spend time in saying is you sometimes get different kinds of calls, and so you need to be prepared for what will come through. I mean, it's not that you don't know how to pray. It's not that you don't know how to touch God. It's not that you don't know anything about prayer. But in praying, we're not a counseling service. We're not a counseling service, and we're not just an answering service, and we're not just, thank God for products, Christian products, but we're not a product service. Amen. We're there to pray. We're there to pray a scriptural prayer for people. And in the teaching of it, it's not insulting somebody that they don't know how to pray, but just how you don't get caught. You know, thank God for my phone. If I ever answer a direct call, I get mad at myself. It's got a little answering thing on it. Did you ever? I know you have. If you breathe, you've been, someone got you. It might have been political. It might have been for a product. It might have been for, but I mean, they have a way of hooking you. And I mean, you're saying, no, no. And they're saying, yes. I mean, in essence, I mean, they're pros at it. And then they have counselors for those people because so many people say no to them. Well, don't call me and you won't hear no. Now, I know that's some people's living, and I'm not being tacky with that. But, I mean, I've had them on, all you can do, you hate to hang up on somebody, but that's just all you can do. And every once in a while, Joy will take the bait, and she'll say, honey, they want to talk to you. I say, yeah. They want to talk to you. They want to talk to your husband, yeah. All right. And they say, well, your wife said, well, you people are real givers. You give. I said, yeah, I know we give, but not to you. Hey, man, we don't throw money. We sow money. Now, you know what I'm talking about. I'm not being tacky, but keep focused on God. Don't focus on problematic situations, people, negativisms, whatever. Keep focused on God. Keep on praying. And Dr. Morocco, he made two or three statements that God has called us to pray. One of the strong missions of this church, and it should be every church, is to pray. We have a lot to pray about. I mean, we have outreaches into the local communities. We have a Christian school next door. And, you know, that's a constant challenge. And then we have, you know, the missionaries, of course, overseas. And you heard Brother, I wonder, how many heard Brother Womack say this morning, see, that's not just pastor just parroting something. I wish that everybody could go and just see even that one mission, although we have more, we do more than that. But that's the biggest one right there. Praise God. And thank God for the Andrew Womack organization. We have never had a ministry on that station that has caught the vision like this man and this ministry. And I mean, they've come in and I mean, I've been praying, God, we want to reach out. We want to do more. We want to do, you know, reach more people. We want to the discipling, but you see, we're doing what God called us to do. And then God sends someone else along to partner and, to go out literally into highways and hedges. I mean, out into the land where they're, well, it's very primitive, I'll put it that way. And I know you could find places, you could probably find places like that in the greater Fort Worth, Dallas area. You could probably find places like that up in the hills and the mountains, the Blue Ridge Mountains. There's a lot of places you could go. But, you know, I was just telling Andrew at lunch, you know, it could be that the last person to be reached with the gospel of Christ will be reached in Uganda. And it all came through. Hallelujah. It could be. It could be. Let me dream. Let me dream. It could be. So keep on praying. Keep on going to church. You know, we live in a society where that is not emphasized as it once was. I mean, in our home, we just went to church. We went to, my dad was a Baptist, and he'd go to his Baptist church. Mother was full gospel, and she'd go to her church. And, you know, our family just went to church. And then toward the end of Dad's life, Dad received the Holy Spirit, and we all could worship together. But keep on going to the house of God. Why should we go to the house of God? Turn with me over to Psalms 73, if you will. In fact, even before you turn, verse 7, but as for me, I will come into thy house. I'm in chapter 5, verse 7. But as for me, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy, and in thy fear will I worship toward thy holy temple. I will come into thy house. Psalm 73, God has used that in verse 17. Psalm 73, verse 17, until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I therein. Can you just think of the understanding that not only was maybe initially given, but think of the encouragement to act on what you already know that we received this morning. It's not that every time you come to church, you hear something you've never heard before, but it encourages us to do what we already know. I mean, I'm a minister of the gospel, which that and 5 cents get you a cup of coffee, but it's the anointing, it's the Holy Ghost. And we were able to attend a couple of nights in Brother Andrew's meeting. And then, of course, we always are a part of the minister's conference in October. But, you know, in those two nights, things that I already know, I know them. I think backwards and forwards. But, you know, it's not what you know backwards and forwards. It's what you're doing about what you already know. And there's times that we need our faith challenged. There's times we need keep doing what God told you last. There's times we need to remember that giving to God really pays. I mean, you know, the foundational basics. And so it said, until I went into the sanctuary of God. I'm telling you, my faith is always on the line when I come to church. I'm going to receive from God when I come to the house of God. Well, I can get it at home. Yes, you can, but there's a lot of distractions. Yes, I can get it on television. That's good. And however you can get it, and there are people that are watching this service tonight by streaming, thank God you're with us and you're connected there. But, you know, there's so many things that can happen to divert your attention. Amen. But until I went unto the sanctuary of God, then I understood. There's things I couldn't tell you. I mean, just this week, there are things that God quicken to me, reveal to me as I'm sitting there, not worrying about anything that a pastor ever has on his mind. I'm there just listening to the word. I'm there plugged into the word. Amen. And as I've often said, get as close to the front as you can get. There's nothing righteous about the back of anybody's head. Amen. And thank God I had a front row seat and I took advantage of it. I just shut everything out except praising and worshiping God. And Charlie and Jill LeBlanc were leading in that area. And then when Brother Walnut came, and God made some things very real to my heart. Hallelujah. Everything in the world is trying to get us a message, from the signboards on the freeway to wherever you go, wherever you go. But oh, thank God, when I went into the sanctuary of God, then I gained understanding that I did not have before, or I gained further understanding. Praise God. Keep on going to church. Keep on worshiping God. Keep on going back to that fifth chapter. In thy fear will I worship. Folks, it's important to praise and worship God. And if you don't have some good CDs or whatever, get some from the bookstore. It's important. It is important to praise the Lord. And we were leaving Maui the other day. We were on the plane, and the pilot came. I've never heard a pilot in all of my, I've got over 3 million miles with America, but I've never heard a pilot say this. He came and said, "Well, folks, we have a problem." And I thought, oh, okay. That's kind of prevalent nowadays. And big old 7.6, they said, "We can't get the left engine started." I thought, well, that would be a problem, you know. You can't. And said, there's something that's not making connection. We can't get the, so we're going to have to let the little machine take us. Well, no, they hadn't even left. They hadn't even left. They couldn't get, well, yeah, they were. They were on the run. The little thing had run them out there. But now they're ready to start the engines, and it's not working. Well, you should have heard people on that plane. I was amazed they were as light about it as they were. Yeah, we can't get the motor started. And so I thought, oh, Jesus, help us, Lord. And then my lightning fast mind said, if we could get the motor started, once we got it started, it'd keep on going, I believe. Praise God. So anyway, long story short, so in about 10 minutes, he said, there's just going to have to be a delay where you have to find a mechanic and find out why this. He said, you know, this happens because we fly high altitude and have a quick turnaround. I thought, well, I thought they all fly high. many? They all fly 30, 33. You'd have to just be in that seat. You know, you're ready to go home, and there's no Hawaiian music going on. I mean, we can't get the motor started. And you got two big old Hoss engines out there, and one of them won't get started. Well, after a while, he said, "Well, folks, we have good news. We hit it one more time in the engine. This is a nice airplane." It said, we believe it was the high altitude. I thought, we flew. I'm not trying to overdo a point there, but I mean, you know, you just kind of have to be sitting there thinking logically, trying to. And we got it started. And then everybody said, "Well, I hope it keeps on going." So we took off and we made it home and lived happily forever after. But you know, you've got to keep on. Keep on worshiping God. There's times that motor doesn't want to start. There's times that praise motor doesn't want to respond to God. There are times when you know, you don't always feel like it's the sacrifice of praise. Amen. Seems like other things come easy, but praise and worship, sometimes you have to fire up and remember to worship God, praise and worship God. It's so important. It's not just something we do at church. It's not just something, you know, God loves your shower voice. God loves your voice in the morning. God loves your voice on the freeway. Oh, to sing praises unto our God. Also, stay sensitive to the leading of the Spirit of God. Stay sensitive to the leading of the Spirit of God. Verse 8, "Lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness." Lead me. I like to associate Psalms 32 and 8 with that. He said, "I will teach you and instruct you." I teach and instruct you in the way that you should go. "I will guide you with my eye." Folks, if there was ever a time we need to be led by the Spirit, it's today. So many voices. And you know, again, I'm not getting into. We've all heard enough voices. We've heard enough pros and cons and all of that. But so many voices. But oh, we need to hear the voice of the Lord. We need the leading of God. "Lead me, O Lord. Lead me. Oh God, lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil." In the Lord's Prayer, we find in Matthew, "Lead me, Lord." Oh, folks, I'm looking for another car, another truck. "Lead me, Lord." I'm looking for a piece of real estate. "Lead me, Lord." So many voices and so many choices and so many opinions, but "Lead me, Lord." Oh, that's my daily prayer. "Lead me, Lord. Lead me." Keep depending on the leading of the Lord. You know, God spoke to Joseph, the earthly father of Jesus, and he said, "Go home another way. Go home another way. Go home another way." Folks, we need to be sensitive. Go home another way. I'm not saying that that's a word for everybody, but there's more than one way you can go home. I've talked to people that took a different way because God said, and there was a tremendous accident. Now, don't take that as a statement of fear. But I mean, if God says it, if you feel that strongly in your spirit, if it takes a few minutes extra, or if you save time, it doesn't make any difference. You just do what you really feel in your heart, and then you go on from there. You know, I'd rather do what I thought God said, and really nothing came out of it that I knew. You don't know until we get to eternity all the things that God spared us from. So keep on being sensitive to the leadership of God's Spirit. God spoke to Joseph and said, "Go home another way." And he did. And he obeyed God. Keep on trusting God. We're here, still here in the fifth chapter of Psalms, the day before of Psalm of election time. "But let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice." Hallelujah. Keep on trusting God. Keep on trusting God. You know, we live in an enlightened society. I know how to do it. Do you ever have your children tell you that? "I know how to do that. I can do that. I know how to do that." Yes, you do. But sometimes that's not the thing to do. Oh, dear Lord, I sense this as a pastor Let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. And of course, Proverbs 3:5 is a life verse for me. Trust in the Lord. Trust in. That's total, complete reliance. It's like floating in the water versus trying to swim or whatever. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. All of your heart. Don't lean to your own understanding. It doesn't mean that God didn't give us a brain, but I mean, don't be captivated by your own brain. Lean not to your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge Him. And that word in the original is yada, which means to know Him and to make Him known. Know God and make Him known. And there's a strong witness lead off there. Let all those that put their trust in thee, all those that put their trust in thee. I don't know what people, you know, often I say, I don't know what in the world people do without the Lord. Joy says they don't. You know, what do people do without the Lord? They don't. So if you put your trust in God, here we are, the fifth chapter of Psalms, verse 11, then rejoice. If you're a truster, rejoice. Hallelujah. Rejoice. And let them ever shout for joy. Well, noise in church makes me nervous. Well, it doesn't anywhere else. Amen. I'll tell you, those Aggies know how to make noise in a football game. Woo, can't they, Doc? I mean, they can do it. I mean, that roar, there's a roar. They're professionals at that. I think they got the patent on it. So let all those that trust in thee rejoice. Let them shout for joy. I just want to say, hallelujah, I trust in God. I'm a truster. I trust in God. Let them shout for joy because thou defendest. You see, if you trust God, God defends you. God takes care of you. God watches over you. Hallelujah. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee, be joyful in thee. Hallelujah. You've heard my story so many times, so I won't take time for all the details, but over in Honolulu, I never will forget swimming out that day after I'd had a real busy day and working out and doing all kind of things, trying to make up for, you know, a busy schedule. And I didn't realize the tide turned against me. And what was not a hard swim in the morning was almost a fatal swim then. And I just felt like everything in me just went. Have you ever felt hopeless? I thought that was it. For a moment, I thought, this is it. Oh, God, no. This is it. And then, you go through, you run the gamut of emotions. And it was then that I just said, God, help me. And the Lord sent that Olympic Canadian swimmer who was practicing in the same waters. And he came beside me and said, do you need anything? And faith man that I am, I said, everything's okay. I said, oh, no, wait a minute. I said that. I remember it. Boy, do I remember it. I can still see his face. And I said, I need help. And he said, just relax. I don't think I've dwelt on that one. So he said, just relax. You know, sometimes we can get so tensed up doing what we're doing, we forget to relax in the Lord. He said, just relax, and I'll push you to this buoy. Oh, I was further out than I was to get back in, and the tide was against us. And he said, I'm a Canadian Olympic swimmer, and I'll help you get back safely. And so I relaxed, and he was right beside me, pushed me out. We sat there on that little piece of concrete for a while and then came back into the shore, and he was with me. And, you know, just having somebody with you. Do you understand that? Just having somebody with you. Sometimes you just need somebody with you. That's why. You know, Isaiah 41, oh, fear thou not, I am with thee. Be not dismayed, I am thy God. Oh, that just overwhelms my heart at this point. Just to have somebody with you. You're never without. The truth of the matter is, you may think you're without, but you're never without if your trust is in God. No matter where you are. No matter where you are, you're never without when your trust and your faith is in God. Somebody needed that. Let me park there just a few more seconds. Somebody needed that. You're not alone tonight. You know, you can feel alone in the midst of a crowd. You can feel alone in the midst of a lot of people. You can feel alone in the midst of people that you know very well. But oh, I'm telling you, thank God in your loneliest moment, He said, I am with thee. I am with thee. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Oh, the Spirit of God's saying something to somebody right now. He's with you. He's with you. Hallelujah. He is with you. Keep on trusting in God. Rejoice. Shout for joy. Be joyful. He is with you. You're not alone. Hallelujah. You're not alone. These 48 years, there's been some times I felt alone. That's not unique. There's just been times in building and growing and financing and challenges and all the things. Boy, there's times that, you feel like you are totally alone in the midst of an ocean, just like I felt coming off that beach there in Honolulu. You feel like you're, but you're never alone. He's with you. We used to sing a song back years ago in church. No, never alone. No, never alone. He promised never to leave me. Never to leave me alone. Oh, somebody needed that tonight. You're never alone when the Lord is with you. Keep on trusting God. And then just keep on. Hold on to a blessed mentality. Verse 12. For thou, Lord, will bless the righteous. You say, but I'm in a hard situation. You're still blessed. How did you feel this morning when Brother Womack was talking about? I'm glad it was him out there. They just got through they just got through cooking 12 rats. Whew, that's not my idea of lunch or breakfast or supper. Yet, do you realize that's a feast for some people all over the world? Folks, we're so blessed. I went in to get some food for the nurses the other day up at the cafeteria, and it was all you can eat Saturday. Oh, dear Lord. I looked at trays. I said, I bet they try to carry it out in their purses. She said, yes, they do. it was fish and chicken and ground, I just couldn't believe all that. Everything but dessert and drinks. And I had to wait a little while because there was so much of a line. And one guy polished off a tray and came back for more. I thought, dear Lord, dear Lord. Well, we're blessed. I said, we are blessed. We are blessed. We really are blessed. Thank God we have food to eat. And as far as I know, everyone here tonight, occasionally we have some people in that, you know, when you're going out to the highways and hedges, now we have some people coming in that have some challenges in their life. But, you know, if you had a place to sleep last night, you're blessed. Amen. If you had food to eat, you're blessed. If all you had was a can of pork and beans and someone had to loan you a can opener to get you're blessed. Keep on. Hold on to that I am blessed mentality. Hallelujah. Praise be unto God. Praise be unto God. One of our, I think it was Preston the other day. Someone was telling me that on Facebook, he used Facebook like it ought to be used. Everybody was just having a pity party if they didn't agree with the election and so on. And Preston said, well, I can still read my Bible and I can still hear praise and worship where I work. And I still have, I don't remember all of it, but he's just dealing with some. I still have these things. You know, we ought to celebrate what we have. Rejoice in what we have. Hold on to that I am blessed mentality. That's not just some preacher's sermon or book or whatever it may be. But folks, we are blessed. We're blessed. You had enough health and strength to get here tonight. You're blessed. Oh, thanks be unto God. Well, these are some foundational basics. And God has given us weapons of our warfare. They're not carnal, but they're mighty through God. Hallelujah. And I'll tell you, in this hour, we need to operate in everything that God's given us. Amen. Everything that God's given us. Purpose not to be carnally minded, because it's death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Romans 8:6. Oh, be spiritually minded. Let's stand and shout the victory. Hallelujah. Foundational basics. Foundational basics. Oh, when everything is gone, God's not gone. God is there. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. Amen, amen, amen. Praise God. What is blessed assurance, Brother Johnny? Huh? Oh, hallelujah. Oh, thank God. I want us to have a praise and blessing altar call tonight. I wonder how many just come stand with us for a final praise unto our God tonight. Hallelujah. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all day long. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
I want us just to lift our voice and thank God for food to eat. Thank God for health and strength. Thank God for your family. Oh, Father, we just lift up holy hands without wrath. Lord, we want to be thankful. Oh, God, we want to be, I want to be the most thankful pastor in the world. I want this to be the most thankful church in the world. Oh, Father, we give thanks unto our God. As we're entering the Thanksgiving season, every day should be Thanksgiving for the believer. Every day should be a praise the Lord day for the believer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, years ago, in traveling for a period of time with Dr. Gordon Lindsay, who, of course, Gordon and Frieda Lindsay founded Christ for the Nations, he used to teach years ago, every day pray at least one radical prayer. Every day. Have you prayed your radical prayer today? How many radicals do we have here tonight? Hallelujah. Now think about it for a moment. I don't want you just to fire both barrels of that shotgun and not have a target in sight. Amen. Just think about it for a moment. Is there a radical prayer you need to pray tonight? Is there a radical prayer? Hallelujah. You know, Brother Kevin, I thank God that God spared your life. God spared your life. Brother Womack, he didn't go into detail about it, but when we were up in ministers' conference, they'd been up to Cripple Creek, I believe it was, and they were seeing some historic thing, and she had a camera around her neck. And either she fainted or she tripped and fell. I don't remember. Do you remember? Anyway, she tripped and fell face forward on that camera. And it broke the camera. I mean, her fall just broke the camera. And she just went limp. And there was no pulse. I mean, you know, folks, stuff can happen so quickly. We just need every day. I mean, before you put that key in the ignition, Lord, I just thank you for supernatural protection. Thank you for watching over us. Don't take anything. Well, I've got airbags. You need more than airbags. Well, I've got this. Oh, and you know, Brother Andrew, he just starts speaking the word. It was a while, but God literally brought his wife her breath back. You heard the testimony when she gave it. I thought, oh God, here's a man that could have been deprived of a wife that he really... We all need our wives, but you know what I'm talking about. Here's a man that would have been a tremendous loss to him. And God brought her back. God, we thank you for breath. We thank you for life. You ready to pray that radical prayer? Pray to the Father in Jesus' name and faith believing according to the word of God. Oh, Father. In the name of Jesus, we call down every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. We call down every high thing that would exalt itself against our Christian school, our church, our missions, our outreach. We call down every high thing that would come against the people or the finances of our people. Oh, in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord. Thank you for bringing Andrew's son back to life a few years ago. 5 hours without a pulse and came back. Lord, we all have miracles that we're not even aware of. We just take things for granted. Lord, I want to thank you. Oh, hallelujah. Lord, I want to be all that you've called me to be. I want to do and finish what you've called me to do, Lord. I ask you to bless every family in this church. I break every spirit of poverty. I break every spirit of lack. I break every lie of the evil one. In the name of Jesus, every spirit that would come against these precious people and those that call this their church home and those that are viewing and watch us and receive spiritual encouragement, we speak the word of God and we say that this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors. Oh, for the Lord God will help me. I will not be confounded. I will not be disquieted or dismayed. Oh, God is with me, for me, in me, and through me. Now lift your hands. Let's shout God for shout the victory. Oh, rabakaraka shakatai. Rababaribabarakarakarakasai. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I just declare for a decree that every attack of the evil one against you is just broken, broken, broken. Many of the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. I'm so glad you came to church tonight. Ooh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.